So I'm Dr. Sujit, consultant cardiothoracic surgeon and heart and lung transplant surgeon at Kaveri Hospital, Chennai. So today in this session, I'll be talking about myths and facts of heart attacks. So heart attacks, as we know, it's a major health problem our country is facing. So what is heart attack? So basically, these heart attacks are caused by, there are some blockages in the blood vessels which supply the heart. So in medically, we call it as the blood vessels supplying the heart are called coronary vessels. So we call it as coronary artery disease. So this is the disease which predisposes them to having a heart attack. So in simple terms, there's blockages in the blood vessels of the heart or the coronaries, which is called a coronary artery disease, predisposes them to what is known as heart attacks. So how prevalent is heart attack in our country? So according to various studies, the reports say that its prevalence of heart attacks in India is around, or coronary artery disease in India is around 8 to 10%. That means 8 to 10 out of 100 people may be having coronary artery disease. So this can, this if not detected over time, it may predispose them to having a heart attack. And what is the importance is that the heart attack related deaths account for around 30% of all deaths in our country. So this underlines the importance and severity of this condition. So today we'll be, with this introduction, I'm going to address some myths and facts related to the heart attacks. So we, in our community, there are a lot of myths circulating. So first one I would like to address is heart attacks are a disease of elderly. So it is again a myth, because heart attacks is not necessarily, it can happen in elderly, even though it is more common in elderly. And over the last 10 to 15 years, we have been seeing increasing proportions of young people getting heart attacks as well. So recent statistics show that as much as 25% of heart attacks occur in people below 40 years of age. So what are the factors? Let's see what are the factors which predispose these young people to heart attacks. So among this, the major one is stress related to work. So work-related stress can be an important factor, and they predispose them to having hypertension, as well as in the future, their risk of coronary artery disease and heart attacks. Second one is sedentary lifestyle. By that, we mean that they don't have a healthy, regular exercise pattern. So they sit and walk throughout the day in the office, mainly the IT professionals. So this again predisposes them to developing heart attacks. Third is, of course, smoking. So because these are all interrelated, work stress and sedentary life and smoking, this can also predispose them to having heart attacks. And of course, eating habits. Eating habits means having a lot of fast food and also fried and oily food. These are the factors which predispose the young population to have heart attacks. So if we have a check on this, the above mentioned factors, then we can control it to some extent. So that was the first myth. And the second myth is these heart attacks usually happen only in males. So that's just again a myth, because it is true to some extent, because in females, up to a certain age, the female sex hormones or the estrogens that give some protection for the women against developing a coronary artery disease. But once they attain menopause, they are at equally increased risk of developing coronary artery disease as do the males have. So that concept of heart attacks or heart diseases occur only in more in males is again a myth. So with age, both sexes can have equal incidence of heart attacks. Third myth circulating is, if we have a strong family history, we always have a risk of having a heart attack at some point in our life. So strong family history is one of the important determinants of coronary artery disease or a heart attack. But there are a lot of factors that are under our control also. So example, there are some modifiable risk factors and unmodifiable risk factors. So modifiable risk factors are the ones I told earlier, that smoking. If you are a smoker, cut down on your smoking. If you have diabetes or blood pressure, you have a check on this and keep them under control. And practice a healthy lifestyle, do regular exercises, and your dietary habits. So this if you manage it properly, then we can keep it under control. At least you can, what is it? It is not necessary that if you have a strong family history, you will always have a heart attack. So if you control these factors, you can prevent it to a certain extent. So that is again a myth. Then the fourth myth is that all heart attacks, patients with heart attacks always experience chest pain. So we know that the classical symptom of heart attack is chest pain, but some patients may not have chest pain at all. For example, in long-standing diabetes patients, they may not feel any chest pain at all, but still have a heart attack. So they are called silent attacks. So the silent attacks are more common in diabetics, and there are other category of patients who may not develop chest pain. So they have something called equivalence to chest pain. Those are they can have breathlessness or tiredness, or sometimes they feel a squeezing sensation in the around the jaw, with radiating to the neck or back or along the left arm. Some people may present with abdominal pain and vomiting also. So the why we are telling about this is because one should not neglect these factors also, when especially when somebody is feeling some kind of distress and they feel that they are unwell. Better to get it evaluated. Just go to hospital and get a basic checkup done, and make sure you don't have any coronary artery disease or what predisposes to heart attacks. So those are the important warning signs, I would say. So because the important factor is, even if you are having a heart attack, your early presentation to hospital makes a big difference. That is the single most important thing you should do. If you are unwell, just go to hospital and get evaluated and checked, and early presentation will make much of a difference to your outcome. So that's why I highlighted this. Now, another myth is that all heart attacks are treated by stenting. So again, this is true to some extent. When a patient comes with a heart attack to hospital, the cardiologist will see him and do the basic test. And of course, they will do an angiogram to see where the blocks are and how tight these blocks are. So once they see the angiogram, then they decide about the treatment. And if these blocks are minor, they will treat with medications. And if they are severe enough to treat, then they may try stenting, which is true in majority of cases. But in some cases, the blocks will not be amenable to stenting. In those cases, they refer for bypass surgery. So those cases are when there are lot of blocks in all the three major vessels supplying the heart, or maybe the blocks are long enough so that stent cannot be placed. In those cases, they need to refer for bypass surgery. And please note that once the cardiologist refers for bypass surgery, you need to undergo the bypass surgery. Because as I told, if the cardiologist advises bypass surgery and you don't do it and just go with medications, then we can't predict what will happen in the future. So best thing is to avoid a heart attack. So when it's a heart attack means there's some muscle damage to heart has happened. So in that case, you will not get the quality of and the good quality of life even after your treatment. So these are the factors to be kept in mind when somebody have heart attacks. So another myth is about this bypass surgery. So everyone is scared about bypass surgery. So bypass surgery is risky, and what will happen to the quality of life after bypass surgery? Some people say that after bypass surgery the quality of life is poor. So this is again a myth, because bypass surgery is one of the most common heart surgeries performed nowadays, and it has become very safe because of the sophisticated instruments and the surgical technique and the anesthesia as well as the ICU care. The results of bypass surgery have greatly improved, and the complication rate is as low as around 1-2%. That means only 1-2 out of 100 people going for bypass surgery experience some kind of complications. So it is a safe surgery, and quality of life is poor, some people say, but usually after bypass surgery, the patient will be discharged from the hospital within 6 to 7 days. Maximum is around 6 to 7 days. At the end of which, during discharge, at the time of discharge, the patient will be able to carry out all the activities of daily living independently. So we make sure that they do all the activities of daily living independently before they are discharged home. And with some restrictions, of course. Restrictions in the sense, they are not allowed to lift heavy weights above 4 kg, or
drive a car or drive a motorbike or something till around 2 months, after which they are allowed to do that also. So you can get back to your all active full range of activities after 2 months of surgery. So quality of life is not poor at all. It is excellent actually after once your things are addressed. Next is another common myth is return to work can be delayed after bypass surgery. So as I told, the surgery has improved and we have other advancements also. For example, the standard bypass surgery we used to conduct after cutting the sternum, dividing the sternum or the breastbone, and retracting it and then expose the heart and do the surgery. So that takes typically around 6 to 7 days, hospital admission, 6 to 7 days. But even after that, we will fix the sternum with wires, and at the time of discharge, patient will be able to do all the activities by himself, except for the minor restrictions I told before. But other than this, there are a few advancements that have happened. A keyhole surgery. Keyhole bypass surgery means we don't cut the sternum at all. We go through alternative side cuts that will be around 5 centimeter long, and we don't divide any bone at all. So again, here, the return to work is quicker compared to a standard surgery where the sternum will take some time to heal. So classically around 2 months. But even in standard surgery, we advise them, no patients are advised any strict bed rest. They are advised to walk around and do some regular exercises. And even in standard surgery, they can return to work as early as 3 to 4 weeks after surgery. But in a keyhole surgery, it can be earlier than that. So the concept that return to work is delayed after getting operated is not true. Now, another common myth is once operated, they can't do exercises, any exercises after CABG. This is a common concern asked by young individuals, young people. So this is again wrong, because as I told earlier, nobody is advised any bed rest after bypass surgery. So we promote them to do all the activities of daily living independently and also do regular exercise after bypass surgery. Because bypass surgery only fixes the blocks you have. But we have to make sure that we follow a healthy lifestyle so that we don't develop any more blocks in the future. So for that, we tell them to do graded exercises every week. So starting from discharge, we advise them 5 to 10 minutes of daily walk and then weekly increments of 5 minutes. So at the end of 1 to 1.5 months, they will be walking at least half an hour daily. So we encourage them to for daily exercises after bypass surgery. So that is again a myth that one can't do any exercises after CABG, after bypass surgery. So we have few questions here. So the first one is, what can I do to lessen my risk of a heart attack? So as I told, there are a lot of factors a person can be predisposed to developing a heart attack. So as I told, it can be a modifiable risk factor or a non-modifiable risk factor. Modifiable risk factor is something we can do from our part. That means if you are a smoker, quit smoking. And if you have a stressful lifestyle, just try to reduce your stress by practicing yoga or meditations. And if you are a diabetic or a hypertensive, please keep regular checkups and make sure that you take the proper medicines and keep your diabetes and hypertension under control. So these are the modifiable. And another thing is regular exercises. Regular exercise means at least the recommendation is at least 5 days of regular exercises a week. That means a brisk walk, at least 30 minutes a day for 5 days a week is what is a recommendation is. And another thing is the dietary habits. So we have to cut down on all the fatty and oily foods and the fast food. And our dietary intake should include some fresh fruits, vegetables, etc. So these are the modifiable risk factors. So these are the factors we can modify in order to reduce the risk of heart attack. Non-modifiable is something which is not in our hands. That means a family history, strong family history, and your ethnicity and all that, we can't change. So at least if we try to control what we can modify, that itself can make a huge impact. So that lessens your risk of developing a heart attack in the future. So does heart health impact my risk for COVID? So even though, so the thing is, COVID can cause a lot of problems in your body. It can cause in any organ system, it can cause some changes. So likewise, in the lung, it can cause problems, permanent damage also. Sometimes some people may have, and they may go for transplant and all later. But similarly, in the heart also, it is prone to cause some problems. So those usually will subside by itself, except in those having previous heart diseases. So yes, heart diseases, if you have heart diseases, you are predisposed to developing COVID complications also. So that's when we get them admitted in hospital and have them in our ICU or monitoring, so that we come to know if they develop any of these complications. The myocarditis and other complications are known to happen in those with pre-existing heart diseases who have a COVID infection. And another question is, my age is 26, how to control my stress? And am I at risk of heart attack? I think I have answered this before. So to control the stress is something which is important, because this can predispose you to developing hypertension as well as your future risk of a heart attack. So what we can do is, you have to cut down your stress by practicing yoga or meditations or something like that. You and another, you, wherever you have some, leisure activity, you should find what your hobby is, and you should dedicate some time to do your leisure activities. That's why how we should cut down our stress. So I hope I have answered your questions so far. Next, we're coming back to myths. So another myth is, heart attack and heart failure are the same. So they are completely different entities. So heart attack is, as I told earlier, heart attack means there's damage to heart muscle. So that happens when you have blocks in your blood vessels, and if you don't pay attention to that, these will gradually increase over time and prevent the blood vessels from supplying blood to your heart. That's how the heart muscle starts getting affected. So heart attack means there is some damage to the heart muscle which has happened over time. Whereas heart failure is when your heart pumping action is affected. So heart can't pump efficiently as it used to before. So that is an entirely different entity, and that can cause an entirely different subset of symptoms. So what a patient with heart failure will experience is, he will have tiredness, he won't feel like doing any activity, and he may lose his sleep and may develop swelling of extremities, swelling of the arms and legs. And so these are the and breathlessness. So these are the symptoms when a heart fails. So how does this heart failure happen? So heart failure can happen when you have lost your heart attacks can predispose over time. Heart attacks can predispose, if left untreated, it may progress to heart failure. So usually the heart failure takes a long time to develop, and it usually are the sequence of neglected heart attacks that heart fails. So I hope you understood the difference between heart attacks and heart failure. So heart failure is another myth is, heart failure is equivalent to end of life. So so heart failure is actually, truly speaking, heart failure is a complicated condition, but it doesn't mean that your life has come to a stop with heart failure. So now a lot of advancements have happened in the field of medicine, with regard to medicines as well as